Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are live a few hours later than expected here on the opening day of the legal tampering window of NFL free agency. It is Brian Hines, as always, joined by Alex Barth for a live Patriots Beat podcast on the CLNS Media Network, presented by our good friends over at Prize Picks. Alex, I was preparing to start the show about 2.5 hours ago and said it was a pretty quiet day for the Patriots. Almost in a way, you know, just a, you know, casual, slow first day of free agency. And then chaos struck literally right when we were about to start the show at 7:30. We got the news of the day. It was good news to, you know, delay the show because they re-signed Mike Onwenu. And then within the last 2 hours, we got at least 3 or 4 other signings. So we have had quite the chaotic last few hours. So apologies to everyone in the chat. Thank you for staying up and listening to us. At least you got to hear Taylor for the last hour plus break some of this down before us. But here we are. We are live now, and we have plenty of moves to discuss and plenty of stuff that will probably be coming down the pipeline over the next few days. But I don't know, where do you kind of want to start here, with Big Mike, or do you want to go somewhere else?
I think let's just go in the order they happened. Let's just go in the order the day went, I think, because then we can kind of revisit our takes as we went. So I guess let's start with Antonio Gibson.
Well, you can start yesterday because we cut off, and then about an hour later they re-signed Kendrick Bourne. So Kendrick Bourne, he's obviously been pretty vocal about wanting to come back, and, you know, they got a deal done, 3 years. I believe the base value is just about under $20 million, and with total with incentives, it can go up to $33 million. So as you expected, pretty heavily incentivized there for a guy coming off an ACL tear. He's going to be 30 midway through this contract, but we both love Kendrick Bourne, and, you know, back to our theme yesterday of putting whatever rookie quarterback you're going to have or your next young quarterback in a good situation, and bringing Kendrick Bourne back, a reliable veteran receiver, tons of energy, good locker room guy. That's a good place to start there on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, the money definitely initially jumped out to me. I think it's 21 million guaranteed over 3 years, something like that. When you look at it that way, it's definitely a lot, you know, easier, and it makes sense, and we'll see how it breaks out over, you know, the 3 years. But good player, potentially explosive. We'll see how he looks coming off the knee, but on what seems like a proven contract. And look, they're going to need some receivers. They cut Devontae Parker today, which is a good move, but you do also have to fill out the depth chart. So having a guy like Bourne, I think, makes a ton of sense. They got him on good money, good locker room guy. I really like that deal. I thought that was one of the better moves they've made so far.
Yep. We're still waiting on the exact specifics there of, you know, the bonuses and how it hits the cap this year, but it looks like it's going to be pretty heavily incentivized.
Let me just be clear about this. They're not done at receiver. Bourne is good. Bourne is, instead of, we talked about these guys the other day, right? Like a Josh Reynolds or Donovan Peoples-Jones as your secondary option. If they stop at receiver at Kendrick Bourne, they didn't do enough. Let me be clear about that, but it's fixing their receiver room went beyond one player. And for all the struggles they had, Kendrick Bourne was on a borderline 1,000-yard pace last year before he got hurt. So bringing back him, getting rid of Devontae, I guess we can do all the receivers together because the other two are kind of minor stories. Getting rid of Devontae Parker, who was an issue, and bringing back Jalen Reagor, which I'm going to assume, I don't think the money's out on that yet, but I'm going to assume it's a very incentive heavy contract, 1 year, low money, as a guy who can return kicks and be like your rotational fifth guy. Like, I think they're on the right track, the receiver room. Let's see what they do with Juju. Let's see if they can get out under that contract. But Bourne back, good. Parker not back, good. And I'll take Reagor back for no money. But yeah, they've still got it. Now it's, can you add? You've kind of reshuffled the room the way it needed to be reshuffled. Now it's about adding. And I see people in the chat. Yes, it's Calvin Ridley. That's the guy I'm kind of suggesting here.
Yep. So Bourne back, Parker kind of hit early this morning. Sound like they were trying to trade him, but they couldn't make that work with his contract. So they're going to release him on Wednesday when the new league year starts. They'll eat about $6.5 million. But as we kind of said, that's one of the advantages to having a lot of this cap space is you can eat some of those contracts, and the real benefit, right, the real reward is opening up the snaps for whatever guys you want to bring in here. You assume maybe they splash with the Calvin Ridley, or maybe, you know, they dip into this really good draft class. And then, yeah,
or Reagor. Or both. I wouldn't rule out. They shouldn't rule out both.
Hopefully both, right? Ideally both. But and then Reagor, right, yeah, as you said, just it's a one-year deal that was reported, but probably low money. Saw what he can do as a kick returner. You assume that might come down to him versus like an Isaiah Bolden in camp, and then maybe he gets a shot as kind of a speedy receiver with Tyquan Thornton, who, by the way, is looking jacked up. He's looking like he put on some muscle.
Well, if you look at his upper body, if you look at his legs, not so much.
Yeah. So maybe that becomes a camp competition with two guys who probably don't have much guaranteed money left on their deal. But that was the receiver rundown. As the calendar flipped to this morning, one other brief cut was Chris Board on special teams. That freed up about over $1 million in cap. So that you're still seeing maybe kind of this new thought, this new way of roster building, less pure specialist on the roster. So that was a minor release there. That will again be made official Wednesday with Parker on the new league year. And then we got our first signing of the day a few hours into this legal tampering period, which was Antonio Gibson. Big day for running backs on the open market. Yes. I don't know if there was some collusion or if it was just that, you know, teams aren't very high on this draft class and they wanted to get these running backs under contract. But I believe it was like 8 or 9 running backs signed, and the Patriots added theirs and Antonio Gibson. I always have a special place in my heart for Antonio Gibson because he was on like my fantasy team in 2020 when he was awesome and like you could pick him up off waivers. But he was a good player early in his, you know, first two seasons with the Commanders, ran for 1,000 yards, had like 18 rushing touchdowns, good pass catcher. And that's what you probably assume is his main role here. He was a wide receiver in college at Memphis. He's caught 40 balls the last 3 years. So that seems like his kind of skill set and more of an explosive complement to Ramondre Stevenson there. Should be also a good fit in kind of this zone rushing system that Van Pelt is probably going to install, and they gave him a 3-year deal. So they seem to like him. And that was kind of their first move of this tampering window today.
I'll say this on Gibson. I don't underrate how good he is as a runner.
Yeah.
He had a 1,000-yard season for the Commanders a couple years ago. And I do think they're going to go back to, or not go back to, I mean, it's been years since they did this. If they ever did, I mean, it's pre-Belichick. I don't think it's going to be early down back, passing down back. I think it's going to be split by series. So you have two guys in Stevenson, and like Gibson's a better pass catcher than Stevenson, but they're both capable there. You have two guys that are well-rounded, and I think they're just going to split them as they want to split them and, you know, not do it by situation, just do it by rest or by driver, by opponent, however they want to dictate it. I don't think it's strictly going to be by situation. So Gibson gives you a bit, and look, it's listed at 6'2", 220. I think he's smaller than that. I think that's an overlisting, but he's a big guy and he plays smaller than his size in a good way, and that he's much shiftier and quicker than you'd expect a guy that size to be. He also has experience in that zone run scheme that they're probably going to do a good amount of under Alex Van Pelt. So a good compliment, I think, for Ramondre Stevenson, a guy who will give you some more looks on that outside zone kind of thing. So I like the Gibson signing. I know some people wanted, you know, we had talked about Swift. I know some people were interested in maybe Saquon Barkley. I'm okay they didn't dip into the top of the running back market. They don't need to be throwing money at running backs. They don't. And this is from the guy that always pushes back when Evan says running backs don't matter. Ramondre Stevenson's an RB1. I know he had a down year last year, but I still think he can be your lead back. Gibson's a really solid number two. I'd rather them, you know, take the what did Gibson get? It's like, what's his AAV again? There's so many contracts rattling around my brain.
I think it was like a little over three. Because okay, it was like so 3 years, 12. $12 million.
I'd rather take the you know, $6 or $7 million a year they didn't spend signing Saquon Barkley. Add $3 million of that to your offer to Calvin Ridley. Add $3 million of that to your offer to Jonah Williams, and make sure you get those guys. Like, I don't. It would have been nice. It would have been cool for them to go to the top of the running back, but I think Gibson gives them what they need ultimately, and that should be enough. So I liked this signing. I think it's a good, solid signing. I think he'll be a factor. The one issue is fumbles, so we'll see how they work on that. He had a lot of fumbles last year, but if you work on that, he's going to be a productive running back in this system.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you there. Again, the draw is like he's a good pass catcher. That's what he's done. But like, you don't have to pigeonhole him into like a third down back type of role, right? Like, he is a good rusher. Unfortunately, like, the Commanders benched him for Brian Robinson, and he only had 65 rushes last year. And that was, you know, part to Robinson being the starter, and the Commanders also ranked like dead last. I think they were literally 32nd in the league in rushing attempts per game. So they didn't run the ball a lot, but he has that ability. He ran a 4.39, like, for a big body guy. Like, that's pretty impressive. Should be a good fit in those kind of those zone schemes. And you can also add while we're talking about running backs, Chris Price from the Globe.
Yeah, I was about to bring this up.
Yep. About 40 minutes ago said the Patriots have not had any conversations with running back Ezekiel Elliott yet about bringing him back for next season. So you assume with Gibson on a, you know, 3-year deal, and then you have Mondre, those two guys are going to be your top two. And then, you know, you have Kevin Harris, you have Jamichael Hasty, you have Keyshawn Vaughn, I think, is still hanging around there. So maybe it's, you know, you're probably looking at maybe a late day three guy or a UDFA, but nothing, no like Zeke or any other of these veterans on the open market.
Yeah, I think you put Zeke to bed. Now you draft a kid late on day three, or maybe you just bring Kevin Harris back. You just find some third back that you're going to stick at the end of the roster, and that's that.
Yep. So that was the Gibson signing. That was their first move of the day. Staying in kind of chronological order here, the next move or the next...
Well, we talked about... I don't know if you have any more thoughts on Parker. The next one was Parker, which we kind of discussed.
Yeah. No, I think we hit most of it there. But the next, I guess, loss was Mack Wilson, who kind of a bit of a surprise. You know, he's someone who has, you know, shared his love and his, you know, appreciation of Jerod Mayo in the past. And when Mayo got the head coaching job, he was pretty, Mack Wilson was pretty vocal online about wanting to return and play under him. And it sounded like they made him a 3-year offer that was fairly competitive and pretty close to the one he ultimately accepted with the Arizona Cardinals. It was, you know, he ended up 3 years, just over $12 million. So bit of a surprise, but Mack Wilson is out and he's headed out to the desert in Arizona there.
Yeah, I was surprised by this one. Mack Wilson's a good player for them. I think he came on strong late in the year, played an important role in the reports where they were close. And maybe we can fast forward here to Sione Takitaki, who the Patriots signed tonight. Similar kind of player, similar kind of linebacker, rangy, going to go east to west, going to play some special teams. You look at the money that he got, it's close to what Wilson got. You think that the offers are comparable, and I'm surprised the Patriots didn't go up to match on Mack Wilson. Like you said, a guy who said he wanted to be here, a guy that was great in the room, a guy that played well for them late in the season, plays a role they need filled in the defense. Now, maybe they're going to kind of undo the development last year with Marte Mampu and actually play him at linebacker, in which case he'd be redundant with Mack Wilson. Anything short of that, yeah, I was kind of surprised they missed on him. I thought that's a guy they'd want to have back. I thought that's a guy they'd want to be back. But, I mean, money talks. You offer a guy more money, he's probably going to take it. So I was a little surprised. I was a little disappointed the Patriots went away on that one.
Yep. So what do you think of Takitaki? As you pointed out online, he was – this is kind of Elliot Wolf's first guy, right? Like, him and Alonzo Highsmith drafted him in Cleveland 5-6 years ago. So this is kind of the first, you know, Wolf player that he brings in here. Kind of more of an off-ball linebacker. You know, Mack Wilson kind of evolved more to that on-ball edge type role towards the end of last season, but kind of similar, you know, body type. He's one of those athletic kind of guys. So what are your thoughts on Talkie Talkie, who signed a 2-year deal there with New England?
I mean, I kind of just, you know, filled it in. I think he takes on a Mac Wilson role. He was going to play some special teams. My big thing with him, I guess, is so he tore his ACL late in the 2022 season. Last year, he was fine, but we've seen, and Jabril Peppers is a great example of this. It's 1 year, 2 years removed from the injuries when guys really get back into shape. So could he maybe, you know, he's still under 30. Could he maybe hit another level this year now? He's fully healthy, fully recovered from that ACL injury. I'm not saying he will. I'm just, it's anytime I see a guy off a torn ACL, that's just where my brain goes.
Yep. The other thing with him, which, you know, kind of mentioning Chris Board and going away from these pure specialists, yeah. He's a guy who like helped contribute in multiple units of the kicking game and still have a role on the defense, right? One of these guys who can do both. So you might start seeing more of that as they move away from these pure specialist guys who can contribute in multiple ways.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Like one or two core special teams guys, you know, you keep Brendan Schooler. I think that's it, right? I don't think there's anybody else. Maybe it's one guy. And then other guys who are probably going to play mostly on special teams, but do like Brandon Bolden types, where they're mainly going to be special teams players, but in a pinch, you need some depth on offense or defense. They're going to give it to you, and it's not going to be totally out of place. So Talkie Talkie, I think at worst is that guy. I think his ceiling might be a little higher. I think they may give him some reps on defense.
Yeah.
But at the very least, you got a solid special teams player who will at least give you depth on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what we were kind of saying with Chris Board last year, and then they just did not use him at all defensively. But right. Talkie Talkie's a guy who has more of a, you know, resume playing on the defense side of the ball, and now we can sing that Talkie Talkie song every time he makes a tackle. We'll be hearing that in the press box and in the training camp hill all the time. So another kind of depth rotational signing there. But a couple big ones then came in, but we will take a very quick break before we get to those, and we will hear from our friends over at Prize Picks.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you could turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Real quick breaking news here. Bengals just released Joe Mixon, according to Schefter.
Didn't we know that already?
I think it had been like speculated. I think it was like they could do this.
Okay. I think it was, I forget who it was. I think it was like Matthew Berry or someone's like, I heard this at the combine. Was that it?
Oh, something like that. Maybe
now
yeah.
it's just official, but big day for running backs. They signed Zach Moss too, right after, which I know that was a name kind of floating around for the Patriots, but with Gibson and in line, they probably weren't in on there, but, let's get to the big one for the Patriots. It was the one we were kind of waiting for a while now, the last few weeks. And then it broke right when we were going to get on air about 7:30. But they re-signed their top internal free agent, offensive lineman Mike Onwenu, as you see on the bottom of the screen there. 3 years, $57 million deal, including $38 million guaranteed, which watching some of those – interior offensive linemen fly off the board early today, like this seems like a very reasonable deal. I know, you know, Jonah Jackson got a really, it might've been in the kind of similar range from the Rams, but it was Robert Hunt who got like $100 million.
Yeah.
$100 million from the Panthers. So this seems like kind of a really reasonable deal from the Patriots perspective. And they lock up, as Elliot Wolf said, a cornerstone player that they want to build around. And this is his philosophy, right? You draft, you develop, and you extend. Yeah. And here it is, seen in person.
So I was so ready if the Patriots re-signed Onwenu to break down the deal and be like, all right, this is tackle money or this is guard money. This is neither. This is below the guard market, especially for a player of Onwenu's caliber. So while that may lead you to think guard, there actually, I got to pull it up. There was a tweet from Doug Kide shortly after the signing that I was very interesting in two directions for me. Again, I'm just so much to pull up tonight. Here it is. Doug Kide of the Boston Herald after the signing. Wow, this was only 2 hours ago. This feels like it was a week ago. Ideally, the Patriots will still find a left tackle to play across from Mike Onwenu. So that's the good part. Sounds like Mike Onwenu is playing right tackle. But there's internal belief that Chuck Okorafor could play left tackle if needed. No. Nope. No. If you really need, like in an emergency, if you're like week five and a bunch of guys gotten hurt, fine. This is a guy that in six NFL seasons has played two snaps at left tackle. I know he played at a college. That was a long time ago against very different opponents. It's much harder to switch between tackle spots than guard spots. Because at guard, you're used to moving both ways. At tackle, you're always moving back one way or the other. And it's like being asked to write with the other hand. People don't realize what a skill it is to be a swing tackle and play on both sides.
Kind of, you saw it with kind of Joe Alt at the combine, right?
Yeah, like, great point. Great point.
To the right side, it was like it wasn't as smooth as it was as a guy who's played the left side his whole career.
Right, exactly. So I look at that, and Doug does say if needed are the key words. Okafor playing left tackle. I still hope that the plan is, look, if it's, I still hope the plan is to go out and get, and I know Jonah Williams, people are going to jump on me for saying this. He played right tackle last year. He was left tackle the three previous years. It's a much easier transition. Or Tyron Smith, who is a left tackle. I still hope the plan is to go out, get one of those guys, and then maybe draft somebody as well, developmental player. But I think Okorafor is a, I said this, we haven't done a show actually since they signed him. We didn't talk Okorafor. Right?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Did we do Friday? Because they signed him Thursday night.
We did last night. We did a show.
My God. I
free agency, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah. Just wait till we get to the draft. Yeah. Okorafor is a really good third tackle. Okorafor is a really good, solid third tackle in the ADC. Coach him up into the season. Maybe if he needs to give you some spot reps here and there at left tackle, he does. As a week one starting left tackle, I would worry about that. I worry about that, and I really hope that they are aiming high. I hope that they are not saying, okay, we can get less aggressive with a guy like Jonah Williams. We can get less aggressive in terms of our thinking for the draft at left tackle because we have Chuck Okorafor in place. No, it should be if absolute S hits the fan, yes, if we have to plug him in there, if we have five healthy active linemen, we'll play him at left tackle. The goal should be he doesn't start a game. At left tackle. It's right tackle. It's one thing if you end up kicking Onwenu back inside to guard or something like that. So I'll say this. If they move Onwenu back into guard, you're going to start Okorafor at right tackle. I can swallow that a little more if you make a big investment on the left side. But that report did worry me a little bit. And I know that that's kind of conflicting. Like we were texting with Taylor Kyles about it. And he believes Okorafor can get back to where he was in college. I think asking a guy, hey, do this thing you haven't done in 7 years. Is a really risky plan A or even plan B.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But you're seeing Onwenu and your kind of ideal path here as the right tackle moving forward?
I think at least this year. He's probably better as a guard long-term. I've been a proponent of playing him at tackle simply because I don't think the drop-off is that significant and their other options have been, the drop-off is very significant. Let's say they were to sign Jonah Williams, who can play either side, and then draft a tackle. I would be very open to, all right, you start him at tackle, and as the year goes on, if the rookie's ready to go, and one of your guards are struggling, whether it's Cole Stranger, City So, your best five, like last year, their best five was very clearly with Mike Onwenu at tackle. And that's why I was so insistent on him playing tackle. If they get to a point where their best five is with Mike Onwenu playing guard, which does become realistic if they make another premium investment at tackle. It's something I'd be open to, and that's kind of the value with him is he can play three spots along the offensive line. He can play both guard spots and right tackle. That being said, I wouldn't force him inside to guard to take lesser than a tackle just because you want him playing guard. That's the mistake. If your best five is with him playing guard, excellent, fantastic. I'd love that to be the setup. That means they have two really solid tackles. until they have that, I'm not taking lesser than at the more important position just to move him inside to guard where I think he's better, but the difference isn't that much as compared to, you know, what the drop off's going to be playing him elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my ideal scenario is they go out and they get Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith at left tackle, and then they can kick Onwenu inside because, you know, he's a good tackle, and I assume he's never really had a full off season to prepare at tackle. So if you give him a full off season, he you know, that might improve his play. But I think he is better at guard, and specifically in this kind of, you know, zone run system, that's probably his best fit. But if they think he can kind of handle tackle out there, then, you know, he's earned the right to certainly try it. But
there is a way, in theory, he's your bridge tackle. And what I mean by that is kind of what I just said, right? Tackle X, Jonah Williams, Tyron Smith on the left side, Mike Owen on the right to open the season. You take a guy like Sua Mattia, right? Late second, early third round at a, or not. So who's the kid from, it's Engabare, the kid from Yale, right? Who's a little bit more of a project.
I don't know how to say his name, but I know who you're talking
about. Or maybe even a little later on, a guy like Javon Foster or Christian Jones. And then once, if you feel like that guy gets ready within year one, and again, you're not getting where's the drop off figure? Is it Onwenu to rookie tackle, or is it Cole Strange to Onwenu, or City So to Onwenu? Because if your guards are struggling, and there's a real chance with that, you move Onwenu inside, and maybe now suddenly you have this other capable tackle.
Yep. But I'd say whatever position they view him at, they probably need to sign the other position, right? So like
this all hinges on Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith.
Yeah. Because if they view him as a tackle and they don't sign, if they don't go for like Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith, then your interior, you're left with City So, who was good.
Yeah.
But then it's Cole Strange, who his offseason timeline is TBD after the surgery. And, you know, he's still a question mark when he's out there. And then Antonio Mafi is your, you know, first backup there. And, you know, he wasn't that impressive to end his rookie year. So you'd assume maybe they add a, you know, a depth option there. Or if Onwenu is a guard, then you have, you know, City and Cole Strange at left, and Onwenu at right. And then you really want to, you know, lock down Tyron Smith or Jonah Williams there. And then you're probably drafting a tackle no matter what route you go, because you need a kind of a project player at that position. So obviously awesome to get Big Mike back here on a reasonable deal even more, but there's still probably some work to be done within that offensive line room, and depending on what position you view him at going forward. But any last Big Mike thoughts?
Look, we just went through all these kind of permutations of what it looks like with them. They all involve Big Mike. So in that sense,
they're all better because Big Mike's there.
We'll see how it works out. And I think because of the contract, there's more flexibility, and you don't have to feel like, well, this guy's, we're playing him at guard and he's making, you know, $5-6 million more than the next closest guard in the league. Although after the Robert Hunt contract, you're never going to have to do that. That contract is absurd. They got him here. They got him on a team-friendly contract. The rest of it will work itself out. They got to build the rest of the line. It's basically the point. We knew they were going to need to do that. That doesn't take away from the Onwenu signing. The Onwenu signing is good, but it's whether or not it's good or great depends on what they do with the rest of the line and what they do with this opportunity. They've provided themselves with this really good, not just really good, but also really flexible, positionally versatile offensive lineman.
100%. But the next kind of wave of news we got after Big Mike was the one we were waiting for all day long, which was Jacoby Brissett. One third of the Wolf Pack is back in Foxborough. They could bring the second part back if they want.
No, they shouldn't. They should not do that.
I'm with you. I was photoshopped the Wolf Pack, and I put like Drake May over Brady, and I was debating putting like Nathan Rourke over Jimmy G.
You so should have done that.
I probably should have. I don't know if I could have even found a good picture of Nathan Rourke to be able to do that. I'm sure he's got a
CFL MVP. You might get a little BC Tigers jersey in there, but it would work.
He's got a team headshot out there, I'm sure. But
he's also got a famous brother. So
true. But
you know about Patriots third string quarterbacks with famous brothers.
that's the main thing you have to check off. But Jacoby Brissett is back in Foxborough. It made, you know, so much sense forever, honestly. Like, familiar with the team, familiar with Alex Van Pelt, spent a year with them. They missed the veteran presence in the room last year when it was just Mac, Zappy, and that rotation of third quarterback. So, you know, anywhere Jacoby Brissett's gone, he's been praised for, you know, his character, his leadership. So, and he could probably start you a few games to begin the year if they needed, but just good to get that veteran back in the room. And again, kind of paves the way for what looks like them to draft a quarterback number three overall in 5 or 6 weeks here.
Yeah. The last thing you said is the big point right now. Now tell me who he's mentoring. That's just where I'm at. I wrote this last week on 985thesportsclub.com of all the mentor quarterbacks that were out there. And I think we had talked about, and when I say we, like the general consensus had kind of narrowed it down for the Patriots to Jacoby Brissett and Joe Flacco. I think Brissett was the better option for a number of reasons, age, just, you know, in terms of the number of systems he's been in. Obviously both were just with Van Pelt, but I think he's the ideal bridge and mentor for the next guy. Maybe he starts week one. Like, maybe they feel they need to sit the guy. Now, if they take a guy third overall, you truly believe in him. By Halloween, that rookie should be the starter. So I don't think we see more than 7 or 8 games from Jacoby Brissett. But if you need him, he'll give them to you, and it won't be a total disaster. The rest of the offense won't fall apart. But he's also, you know, he was in this role last year with Sam Howell. He didn't even start last year. I forgot about that. I thought they had made the move to him. And he didn't start last year, right? He didn't start a game for him?
He didn't at all, like mid... Although he was going to start that one at the end of the year, then like he hurt his hamstring, so he couldn't. But did Sam Howell really start 17 games last year?
Jacoby played in 3. He didn't start any. What am I missing here? Who started...
Did they have another quarterback?
No, Sam Howell started all 17 games. That's right.
Wow.
But,
that is
yeah,
surprising.
You know, he's... You'll get a couple games out of him. You'll go to the rookie. He'll be really good training the next guy. They got him on. Some people are freaking out about the contract. That's a pretty standard backup quarterback deal. Like, it's not – I was worried they're going to have to give him the Minshew deal, like multiple years of guaranteed money. And, no, 1 year, $8 million. Is it a little on the higher side for a backup? Yes, but he is – he's a guy that's going to be in demand. He's one of the better backups in the league. So, I have no problem with this. I think if you have an issue with this, it's you just are looking to have an issue. Now, if they don't draft a guy third, we can revisit this and say, what are you doing? But under the assumption they're going to draft a guy third and Jacoby's going to work with that kid, yeah, right move.
Yep. Yeah. Again, more about what he's going to do off the field for you than what he's going to do on the field. But nice to see Jacoby back. Still, where are you at? I think we're still under the assumption that they're probably going to move on from Bailey Zappe, but what do you
think?
Yeah,
that's the one thing I wonder, like,
on that.
I mean, he was working out with Tyquan Thornton, Kendrick Bourne, Jamario Douglas. That was interesting. He's clearly trying to endear himself to the team. I just think you need a fresh start. You need a fresh start in that room. And Nathan Rourke was here so late. Fine, he can stay. He's not going to make the team anyway. If I'm them, I'm still looking to move on to Bailey Zappe.
Yeah.
Move on from Bailey Zappe.
Is that just, you know, I doubt he'd get any compensation back because, you know, you cut him last year and no one claimed him, but is that something you're just cutting or would you bring him into training camp and see if he has a good, you know,
I guess you can bring him into training. You can, you just got to, I mean, look, there were reports last year, the report from the Herald that like he wasn't great with Mac and you're not drafting a guy third overall for him to compete with Bailey Zappe. You can be like, yeah, everybody in camp's competing and all that. You're not drafting guy third overall to compete with Bailey Zappe. And if he's going to, you know, pout because since Zappe Jacksonville, the commenter says, if he's going to be an issue with like, hey, this kid is the future and that's the plan, you move on from him because they did enough to put the last future of the franchise in a torture chamber, you know, mentally put him in a blender. Stop doing that. That's the big lesson that we talked about. And Zappe being an issue would be aligned with that. So I would look for them to move on from him.
Yep. I'll agree with you there, but let me
just be clear about this. I don't fault the guy and I never faulted Zappe for coming into the situation with the mentality of, you know, I'm going to win the job. I'm going to be the star. Like you want that mentality. That's good. when you have a young quarterback who's not used to the NFL, having a guy like that around isn't always the best idea. And the reality is you're going to cater to the third overall pick, not the fourth round pick who, you know, struggled last year. So that's why a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who kind of has been in this role, who knows this role, makes a lot more sense than a guy like Zapp. Maybe Zappy gets to that point at some point in his career. It's kind of who I always thought he would be going back to before he was drafted, but he's not there yet. And I don't blame him for not being there yet. He's on his rookie quarterback, but I think you gotta move on from him and just set things up the way they need it set up.
Yep. Yeah. But good first, or I guess second move to do that, to bring in, you know, trade Mac and then bring in Jacoby to start setting that up. But I believe that's all the additions and subtractions, right? Talkie, Brissett, Gibson, Unwenu, Rager, Mac Wilson, Devontae Parker, Chris Board. Anything else player wise or anything else you're looking for?
Well, we got Jalen Rager. Oh, we already talked about Jalen Rager. I'll just say around the league, the Kirk Cousins contract is crazy, but that's going to be a really interesting team in Atlanta. We'll see what they do in the draft, how they put that around him, because they can really add another weapon with that eighth pick and boom, you're off and running. Where are the other big deals? Yeah, the running back market was interesting. Saquon to the Eagles is so cool. That's just good. Those are going to be some awesome games between those two teams. And you already got Tiki Barber talking.
Barber, calm down. Like,
but like, oh man, give me Giants Eagles week one Sunday Night Football. Oh, yeah. I will tell you that. I don't care that the Giants suck and they probably shouldn't get primetime week one. No, Giants Eagles at MetLife week one Sunday Night Football. Or maybe you make it one of the Monday night games. If they do like the Monday night doubleheader, maybe you make it the early game. So if it sucks, you still got another game on that night. But that's going to be pretty cool. Gabe Davis, Jacksonville, good luck. Most inconsistent player in the league. I would rather have Ridley than Gabe Davis. So supposedly they may want both. The Jags may want both, but the Patriots should now be in a better position to outbid them. Speaking of the Giants, actually, Brian Burns, Panthers, idiots. Pass up all those deals for Brian Burns, all that, and the Giants hit a home run. That defensive front's going to be scary. I wonder if they try to get Leonard Williams back now and just beef that thing all the way the hell up. But
bully everyone up front.
Yeah, I think the NFC North and the NFC East made most. The Vikings signed a couple guys. They were busy. The Packers were busy.
Packers were spending.
Oh, yeah, they signed. I don't get moving on from Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon for Josh Jacobs. You moved on from an equivalent to Josh Jacobs and slightly worse Josh Jacobs to pay Josh Jacobs more money. Don't understand that one, but hey, you did it. I do like the Xavier McKinney signing for that was them, right? That signed Xavier McKinney. It all blended together.
Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah. So NFC North, NFC East kind of ruled the day, but back at it tomorrow. We still got a lot of the top names, at least the top names that made it to the market on the board.
Yeah. I'll say there wasn't much movement in the receiver market, right? Like Gabe Davis was the only kind of top guy to sign. And honestly, like I wouldn't pay Gabe Davis that, but he even came in kind of under what I expected a team to overpay him on the market. So I don't know if, you know,
I wouldn't pay Gabe Davis period personally.
Oh yeah. But I expected some team to pay him, you know, way more money than that, just badly. But, so maybe teams are seeing this draft class and they're, you know, kind of hesitant to pay the wide receiver market, which we might see tomorrow how that impacts Calvin Ridley. We can mention this. T. Higgins did request a trade. Like that was one of the first things this morning. So going back a few weeks ago, that projected price was a late first rounder, early second rounder, maybe a late day three pick. So Patriots are right in that range with the 34th pick. Is that something you're calling on? Is that something you're pulling the trigger on? 34 and maybe the sixth rounder you just got for Mac for T. Higgins?
Yeah, we just did all those machinations at tackle. If you go out and get another tackle, if you go out and get Jonah Williams, you have Mike Onwenu. So you're good, at least for this year, you're good at tackle. You sign Calvin Ridley, or no, not even. I'd say if you're good at tackle, you can probably trade 34 for T. Higgins. Because here's the thing. You're probably going to use that pick on a receiver. As much as I like this receiver class, Brian, is anybody you're going to draft at 34 better than T. Higgins? I don't think so.
It's like, I mean, it's a good
class.
The Family Guy video.
The mystery box or the boat. Yeah. Mystery box could be anything. You'd even be a boat. A.D. Mitchell could be anything. He'd even be T. Higgins. So assuming they get themselves taken care of a tackle, yes, I would seriously consider 34 for T. Higgins. Assuming I wouldn't do that as a rental. I would do that with the extension. They have the money to pay him. If they don't get it figured out a tackle, I still think you need a tackle with that pick. I just think it, as much as the move would make sense, the timing maybe doesn't line up.
Yep. So I know some of the Cincinnati reporters were saying that could kind of, you know, drag out to maybe a training camp holdout. So maybe that one does drag. If it doesn't get done before the draft, that's probably going to drag out.
Then everything kind of changes. And I've seen Cincinnati reporters say that too. Some of them think he's just outright not getting dealt, that the Bengals will sit with him on the holdout and basically dare him to not play. And I wonder if this was kind of a move from him too, to just be like, hey, you know, as you're signing people, as you're giving out these contracts, remember me, I'm here, I still need a deal, like that kind of thing. You know, some of them think he's still going to end up getting, sometimes this is what happens, guys request a trade and then maybe it's not for a couple months, but they ultimately get the long-term deal. So that one's all still up in the air, but based on the reporting now, like if they sign Jonah Williams tomorrow, I'd call the Bengals and say, you know, 34 in the fifth for T. Higgins. And I would do that. Absolutely.
Yep. And I see a lot of people in the chat saying Brandon Ayuk. I would consider that for Ayuk.
Ayuk still scares me just because, and I know Higgins played next to Chase, but we saw a good amount of Higgins when Chase was out. When you play in an offense with Deebo Samuel, with Kittle, with McCaffrey, like he never gets any attention. He's getting one-on-ones every game, all game. And that's not to say he can't do it. For what it would take to get him, I'm not willing to bet that he can be that true coverage dictating receiver. Because he's had it very easy during his time in San Francisco. And you're not getting coverage protection from George Kittle in New England. You're not getting coverage protection from Christian McCaffrey in New England. Not right now. So he worries me. This is another one. Like I would rather go here. If AJ Brown's still upset, I'd take AJ Brown. I'd actually take AJ Brown over Ayuk or Higgins. I think he's the best we've talked about, but
probably, yeah.
Ayuk's always scared me just because there's so much help for him in that offense that he's just not going to have here. And what does that look like? That's what worries me.
Yeah. It's a fair point. I really like Brandon Ayuk though. I probably like him more, a little bit more than T. Higgins. But I see where you're coming from. Last one I'll throw at you. We touched on Kirk Cousins a little earlier. Seems like there's really no market now for Justin Fields. So if his price comes down to, you know, maybe an early day three pick, does that change your opinion on maybe acquiring Justin Fields at all? Because I mean, who are they down to? The Patriots, maybe the Giants, maybe the Vikings. But any thoughts on Fields if that value kind of sinks now?
I'm still out. I'm still out on Fields, just in the sense that I've said it. No half measures at quarterback. He's a 1 year bridge. You have your bridge. You have Jacoby Brissett, and I think Justin Fields is a better quarterback. But for what you're going to ask him to do, it's the same role. If it goes down to like a sixth or a seventh, maybe I'd take a flyer. I'm not trading a top 200 for a guy who, realistically, the role he's going to fill, you already have filled.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you there. But that was just kind of another interesting wrinkle that came out of today. A lot of those, you know, quarterback needy teams at least took a bridge guy, or, you know, like Atlanta with Kirk Cousins. So we'll see about Justin Fields' market over the next few weeks. But I believe that is everything. But we will be back tomorrow night. Who knows what time? We will keep you updated. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Turn on your notifications so you do know when we go live. You can follow Alex on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. You can follow me on Twitter at IamBrianHines. For all the Patriots, you know, updates when it comes out, and we will try to update you as soon as we know what time we are going live to break down what might be another busy day tomorrow as well, because the Patriots still have plenty of cap space left. If you need some more coverage from the busy day, you can head over to 985thesportshub.com to read Alex's written coverage, and you can head over to patspulpit.com to read my Patriots free agency coverage from day one. Thank you all, as always, for sticking with us tonight. I know it was kind of a wonky schedule there at the end, but thank you for tuning in, as always, and we will see you guys tomorrow.